our family. I'm a grateful recovering addict. My name is Kendra.
Kendra.
First, I'd like to thank God for another day clean. I'd also like to thank him for the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous and for you people showing me how to live without the use of drugs. And for that, I'm truly grateful. Thank you, Sean, for inviting us. You know, and I need to be honest and say that when my husband was talking about coming to Altoona, I know he was just here last year. And I thought he said he was going, right? And I had made all these other plans for this weekend. Like, I was putting together a bridal shower. My home group is having a marathon. And I didn't realize that it was all happening. I mean, that I was supposed to come up here too. You know, I just thought he was coming. So, I made a decision to come, to give back what was so freely given to me. You know, my topic is, who's an addict? You know, in the beginning of Who's an Addict, it clearly states that most of us do not have to think twice about this question. We know. You know, and I know, and that's basically all I really need to say. You know, but I know. You know, but it took me a long time to come to some acceptance that I was an addict. You know, because I lived to use and used to live, you know, and was in denial for many, many years. I used drugs for like 32 years of my life, you know, and where I come from, that's what we did. We used, you know, one drug or another, you know, it really didn't matter. We got hot, you know, but for me to identify myself as an addict, I just didn't see it happening. Because, see, I wasn't putting no needle in my arm. I wasn't panhandling. You know, I wasn't prostituting. You know, I was not an addict. You know, and it took me 22 years of smoking crack cocaine. Well, 20 years. You know, like after my 20th year of smoking crack, you know, I really started getting in touch with that I was an addict. Regardless whether I took care of the children, you know, didn't raise none of the kids, you know, went from place to place. You know, I remember, you know, my mother telling me that I needed some help. You know, whoever I was with at the time, I remember, you know, because I was in countless relationships. And each relationship I was in, I was always told that I needed some help. You know, but because I could dress up the outside, you know, I never even really saw no problem. Because I stayed housed, I never really saw no problem with it. You know, I felt like I wasn't hurting nobody. You know, but the literature clearly states that we cause many people great harm, you know, but most of all, we harmed ourselves, you know. So I didn't think I had a problem with drugs. It wasn't until, like, it can be a long, drawn-out story, but I just want to get to the end of the road and tell you where I came from and tell you where I am now and how I identify with who's an addict, that I am an addict, you know. And I'm talking about, like, at the end of the road, after countless relationships, after countless rehabs, after the geographical change, you know, I ended up in a place where I never thought I would be. You know, I'm talking about, I ended up in a house, you know, prior to getting to this house, I was living in a condominium. And I had heard people say, even before I got to Narcotics Anonymous, how they literally was living in a condominium, but now they're living in this abandonment. But see, that would never be me, because I was Kendra. You know, I always thought I was that girl, you know, and I ended up, that became my story, you know, and I'm grateful. Don't get me wrong. I am so grateful for that abandoned house, because I'm very much aware that if I didn't get to that house, I wouldn't be in this house. You know what I mean? Like, listen, and I lived in this house, and I lived in this house for 5 months. And in this house, I lived with rats and raccoons and possums and cats. I weighed 98 pounds. I was dirty on the outside. I was empty on the inside. You know, look, I was wearing a kid size 14. I was walking around in a size 7 shoe on my size 9 foot. Listen, I was lost. You know, and prior to, and in this house, like, listen, my mindset, because me and my husband were just talking about how the disease lies in our thinking. And my mindset at the time was, I was okay. I really thought that I was okay, because see, now, no longer you can put me out your house, because I got my own. So my brother and his girlfriend lived across the street, so I went across the street. I don't know where I got a bed from, but I got a bed. You know, his girlfriend gave me this area rug, you know, some pictures I put on the wall, and I hung some curtains. You know, I called the utility company, come out to turn this stuff on. See, I can laugh now, but I'm talking about being in it, right, and the pain that I was in it. You know, and I remember calling the electric company, and they came out there, and they went down in the basement, and they was like, Miss, you know, like, each company said the same thing, the electric, the gas, and the water, like, you need to leave here. Like, they're crazy as hell. My. You know, like, I was serious. I wasn't going nowhere. I was stuck. You know, but at this point, I didn't need no way out, because see, look, because if I can fix it up, if I can get the utilities on, it's going to be all right. Never really in touch with the fact that, girl, you got a problem, that the drugs is destroying your life. You know, and it wasn't until like 5 months had went by, but I'm talking about the longest 5 months of my whole active addiction. Prior to getting here, I could always get a man, and he would always dress me up and house me and clothe me, but at this point, it was over. It was over. Like, listen, I couldn't even get nobody's car. I looked like a little old boy. That's what I looked like. But I'm going to talk about what I felt like. You know, because when I started reflecting back on my life and looked at 20-something years of my life had went by, it went up in smoke. You know, it went up in smoke. And I had never been a mother to my children. You know, like I said, I tried a geographical change, but what I'm in touch with is that I take me everywhere I go, that the problem was not my surroundings, that the problem was me. You know, and I stayed in that house, and I used to sit there, and I remember prior, like I'm talking about jails and institutions, that's my story. I had been in and out of prison, you know, during my active addiction, you know, and I remember being, you know, like the last few days of being in this house, you know, I'm in there, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, damn, is this what my life amounts to? And all I saw was nothing. You know, and I really started feeling the pain of active addiction. I really started feeling, I had a little glimpse of it here and there, you know, but like it really started sinking in. Like it gotta be a better way. So I had begun to pray in this house, and I had begun to ask the God of my understanding to give me enough strength to get out of this or let me die. Like I was screaming it like, God, please, either let me die or give me enough strength to get out of this. And I remember getting in the bed, I had $3. And I got in the bed. And first I went to the store, and I bought a dollar hoagie, some chips, I bought a hug, and I had some 50-cent cookies. But I made it last for 3 days. Like I'm talking about, I stayed in this bed for 3 days, and I cried, and I prayed to a God, like, please, I don't want to get high no more, I want out of this. Like I knew it had, listen, because I started telling myself at the end that if I can get out of this, that I ain't got no way to go but up, because I'm already in the gutter. You know? So, like after 3 days, I remember waking up and not having a desire to use drugs. And I walked out of there and I called my mother and she came and got me. And whatever she did, I did. You know, like I went into it prior to getting to the abandoned house when I was living in the condominium. I remember meeting the cop man on the corner of this house and I knew it was some kind of treatment facility. But what I come to find out today that it was already being set up long before I surrendered to the disease of addiction. Listen, because when I got to my mother's house, I knew that I needed to go somewhere. Because I don't know how to live without the use of drugs. I have been using drugs since I was about 12 years old, so I don't know how to live without the use of drugs. So I knew I needed to be somewhere because I needed a routine. I needed something to do. You know, like I didn't want to stay still. I didn't want to stay at my mother's house because I knew I was already in touch with that my way didn't work. You know, so I remember that house. And I didn't know the name of it, but I remembered the street, and I found them, and I went there, and I stayed there. And whatever they said, I did. You know, and some women came there from H&I, and I latched on to these women, you know, and I did whatever they did. You know, I started making Narcotics Anonymous meetings. They told me I needed to get a sponsor. They told me I needed to get a home group. They told me I needed to get in service. And I started doing that early on in my recovery. You know, never really in touch with what I really suffered from. Because once the drug is gone, then I'm stuck with me. Listen, but it was never really a problem. You know, I thought that, you know, if I could stop using, that I was going to be okay. Now, I stopped using. I got out the facility. The kids came home. You know, I got into the relationship. You know, but I was still feeling, I still had all those icky feelings. I was still feeling empty on the inside. I couldn't understand, like, all these wonderful things that are happening. You know, like, I'm getting all these blessings. I got the house. I got the job. You know, the kids came home. I got the man. You know, and everything is, I'm supposed to be wonderful. Why do I still feel like crap? So I had to get in touch. Listen, I didn't have to get in touch with it. It was suggested to me by my sponsor that I needed to start doing some work. You know, and And it took a minute before I started to work. Like, I had to, you know, because pain is a great motivator for me. You know what I mean? Like, in order for me to do something, I've gotten a little bit better in that area. But in the beginning, like, I got to really be in some pain to do something different. You know, and that's a direct result of active addiction. You know, but once I begin to work, and I'm talking about, like, not even understanding, like, the seriousness of the disease of addiction. It talks about in Who's an Addict that it is treatable, you know, through the 12 steps. You know, so I began my step process. And in my step process, I got to see me. Because my whole life, I was always the victim. You know, I blamed everybody for everything, you know, because, see, I wouldn't have been using drugs if my mother wouldn't have been there. Or I wouldn't have been using drugs if the man wouldn't have beat me. I wouldn't have been using, my life would have been, listen, my life had been unmanageable my whole life. You know what I mean? So, everything was everybody else's fault. It was because of the way I was raised. I became an addict. You know, I ended up using drugs. You know, my mother was an alcoholic. My father's 74 years old. He's still smoking crack. You know, it was their fault. I couldn't take responsibility for none of my actions. But as I began to do the work, I started seeing me and seeing that, listen, once I started making decisions on my own, it wasn't nobody's fault but my own. I could no longer cry victim, you know, because it was always his fault, you know, so I could no longer cry victim. And I just recently, look, got in touch with that. But, you know, the recovery process is awesome because I'm talking about... you know, just taking a look at me, and we were talking today, and we were talking, and I was talking about no matter what, like no matter what happened in my life, I know using is not an option. I know that I can't pick up the first one. I know that if I use, that the end results are always the same. Y'all told me that when I got here. They told me that if I pick up, I'm going to pick up where I left off at. I don't want to live with another raccoon, a rat, or a possum. You know what I mean? I don't want to live like that no more. I'm talking about being reduced to the animalistic level. I'm talking about being reduced to a scavenger. Like, I didn't even recognize me, you know. But being in this process, I'm coming to find out who I am. You know, like, I understand what I suffer from today. I understand that that the disease of addiction is cunning, and it affects every area of your life. You know, like, I am so aware of that because my experience already showed me that once I put the drug down, I picked up something else. You know what I mean? And I'm talking about gambling, you know, and even in gambling, I saw the obsession, I saw the compulsion, I saw this, it was all about me. Listen, I'm talking about being in the store. in the store, like, and I'm in there scratching off on these tickets, and at the end, I'm talking about the same emptiness that I had in that abandoned house, I was feeling the same way. Listen, I'm talking about when, you know, I relied on, I need to share this, like, my story, I relied on men my whole life to fill that void. You know what I mean? So when I got here, you know, because it talks about a spiritual void, you know, so when I got here, I wasn't in touch with that I had a spiritual void. I knew I felt empty on the inside. I knew that I just was just like, you know, like I had no substance. I knew that, you know, but what I didn't know is that I was using people, places, and things to fill that void, even in this process. Like, listen, I'm talking about being in a marriage. I'm talking about being in a relationship. Listen, I'm talking about where I come from. I have always had a man. I always depended on him to make me feel better. I always depended on him loving me to make me feel better. You know, not in touch with the fact that, like, listen, that I need to learn how to love myself. You know, like, listen, it's something in you that you need to tap into, Kendra. Listen, because if not, you're gonna continue to depend on him or it or whatever to make you feel better. But what happens is, listen, when the euphoria wears off, I'm still stuck with me, you know, in that emptiness. You know, so since I've been here, I've done some work, you know, and one of the things that helps me in my process, you know, with combating the disease of addiction is a God of my understanding. You know, and through that, you know, depending on other things to make me feel better or depending on other things to fill that void, you know, I have begun to learn how to love myself in this process. Because when I got here, I ran off of self-hatred, low self-esteem, low self-worth, and on any given day, I still can't. Insecurity, you name it, I suffer from it. You know, another thing I got in touch with through my step process is that I suffered from defects long before I picked up a chemical. And what happened was the chemical enhanced what I was already feeling. So when I put the drug down, I was so beaten. You know, I was so beaten. You know, I was hurting. Or, you know, and I would always try to dress it up. You know, I would always try to fix it up. It was a lot of stuff. I read this chapter, and it was a whole lot of stuff I wanted to share on out this chapter, but I'm just probably all over the place. But I am definitely an addict in every shape, form, and fashion. My behavior shows me that. My thinking definitely tells me that. You know, but what I was saying was, I was talking about learning how to love myself. And I want to share this, why, I don't know, but I feel like I need to. Because when I got here, like I said, I hated me. I hated the thought of me. I hated the sight of me. You know, my husband always said that I'm conceited because I look in the mirror all the time. You know, like in the beginning, I would look in the mirror because I'd be like, wow, couldn't believe it was me. You know what I mean? Because I was supposed to die out there in active addiction. You know, but I was looking at me, you know, and I was trying to figure out what it was about me that I couldn't love me, or what it was about me that I despised so much. Because people say such wonderful things about me, but I didn't believe it. You know, my disease tell me on any given day that I'm still that person that came from that was in that abandoned house. You know, I still ain't shit. I still ain't going to be shit, and I ain't going to never be shit. You know, that's what my disease wants me to believe. You know, but I truly know better than that. You know, but like I said, I was sitting in that mirror, and I would sit there, and I would look at me, and my sponsor immediately told me to start telling myself that I love myself. You know, like, because we got the only disease that we can talk away. So our highest principle is love. What else to combat the disease with but love? You know, so I began to tell myself that I love myself. And I did that, and I had been doing that for years, and I still do that. You know, but what happened for me, one day I was sitting there, and I was just, you know, looking in the mirror, and I've got this long stare going on, and I'm trying to, you know, because on that day I was really feeling like crap. Like, I was feeling like the girl that was in the fetal position in the abandoned house. So I'm sitting there, and I'm saying, ah, you know, like, why do I feel like this? What is going on with me? You know, so I began to tell myself that I love myself, and it wasn't working this day. You know, like, so as I'm sitting there and I'm looking in this mirror and I'm, you know, and I'm staring at me and I can hear, you know how you get that little voice in your head, you know, the voice that tells you to do the right thing, you know, but then I got the voice in it on this side telling me that you ain't shit, Kendra, you know, but the voice start telling me that if you love me, that I'm instilling love in you that you need. So I begin to start telling the God of my understanding that I love him. And since I've been doing that, something on the inside of me has begun to change. Something has really begun to change. So now when I look in the mirror, I don't sit there and I don't, you know, I don't sit there. I don't tell me that I love me no more. I talk to the God of my understanding. I have learned that prayer and meditation works. I'm very much aware of that, it works. You know, like I said, this program is awesome. You know, I got I have a hell of a support group. You know, I got some women in my life. You know, because when I got here, I knew that I needed to stay away from the men, even though I didn't. I knew that I needed to connect with some women. You know, I needed somebody to show me, to guide me, to show me how to be a woman, to show me how to be a mother, to show me how, to teach me how to be a lady. You know, and that's what I did. I latched on to some women, and today I have I believe I have a pretty strong foundation in recovery. You know, wow. I can't even begin to explain, you know, what happened, because it's something, it's not nothing physical, it's not nothing you can touch, but I'm talking about it's something spiritual, it's something on the inside that started happening, like it's like my spirit had been awakened, you know, it's like something in our atmosphere. You know, we were also talking about, like, because of my the work that I does and my hours on my job, it's hard for me to make Narcotics Anonymous meetings like I would like to. You know, but, and when I don't, I find myself being disconnected. I find myself decaying. I find myself, like, in a spiritual rut, you know. excuse me, but it's when I get into a narcotics meeting, I'm talking about something in our atmosphere. It's something in our atmosphere, you know, and I love this. Man, I love this. I love who I'm becoming. I love my life today. No matter what happens in my life, listen, ain't nothing that bad than active addiction. You know, it's nothing that bad. You know, and I'm so aware that, like, look, we were talking about, I said, no matter what, I don't care what happens in my life, I ain't smoking crack, taking a drink, I ain't doing nothing. Listen, it ain't even worth it today. It ain't even worth it. I live to use. I love smoking crack. I hate what it done to my life. You know, I thought that when I was using drugs, I thought that I was invincible. I was a legend in my own mind, you know. I knew how to make things work. I knew how to make things happen. But I was just psyching myself out because at the end, I'm talking about, listen, the only person that hustled was me, you know, for real, for real, you know. But this program has given me so much, and I'm not even talking about the physical stuff or the material stuff. I'm talking about the spiritual growth. Because listen, no matter, look, when I got here, I knew that the kids was going to come back, because every time I got clean, they always came back. I knew that I was going to get a job, because I always got a job. Listen, I wasn't looking for the relationship, but I got one, you know, and I'm grateful for it. I love my husband dearly, wouldn't trade him for nothing in the world, you know, and I got the house, and I always got a place, you know, and those were wonderful blessings. Thank you. You know, I was so grateful. But as I begun, once I begun to do the work, what I'm coming to find out that the real blessing is my spirit, is my spiritual growth. The real blessing is my spiritual condition, being at peace. Listen, I ain't letting nothing get in to disrupt my peace. This is so awesome. I've been trying to get to this place my whole life. My whole life, I've been looking for this place. You know, long before I picked up a drug, I was empty as a child. You know, so I'm here, and you can't even explain it in words, what happens in here. You know, but I know that my life has changed beyond my wildest dreams. I have done some stuff that I never thought I would do, you know, because like I said, I thought I was going to die. You know, but through the step process is when I begin to grow. You know, it's through the step process that I have the ability, you know, to put the disease under arrest. You know, by practicing spiritual principles, and I'm talking about the acceptance. You know, because it wasn't until I was able to accept the fact that I was an addict that I was able to surrender. And then I was well on my way. You know, I'm just grateful, man. I am. I am so grateful. I'm so grateful. Like, and y'all told me that a grateful addict would never use. You know, so I keep coming. You know, I do the work. You know, I do have a sponsor. You know, I do have a home group. I'm an active member in my home group. You know, they say I got control issues too. But this is awesome. You know, like, I don't know if I shared on the topic. Like I said, I would read it. You know, I don't know. But I hope I help somebody. You know, because that's what it's about. It ain't about coming up here, sitting up here looking cute. You know, it's about helping somebody. You know, one of the things that I do want to share, like, I was so grateful when I got here that I had nothing. I was so grateful that I was stripped of everything that I thought I had. You know, because when I got here, I was in touch with the fact that it wasn't about saving a job or saving a relationship or getting the kids back. It wasn't even about none of that stuff. It was about saving my life when I got here. So I take my recovery very seriously. Very seriously. You know, like, and we do have fun, you know, but when it comes down to doing the work and being willing to make some changes in my life. Because another thing that we talked about, I know I said I was going to be quiet, but anyway, another thing that we talked about, we were talking about having the willingness to change. You know, when you've been stuck in a certain way for so long, and then your mindset tells you that you are right, you know, you don't think nothing's wrong with you until you start going through some changes or some pain, you know, and then you want change. You know, I'm just grateful that, like, I don't fight no more. I don't have to fight no more. You know, y'all told me that when I surrendered, like, I don't have to fight no more. You know, so, I don't know. I'm excited. I'm glad to be here. Because we don't get to go nowhere. You know what I mean? We hardly ever even see each other. You know what I mean? So for us to be able to get in the car and go and ride out and, you know, and talk and laugh, you know, it's awesome to be in a relationship or in a marriage, excuse me, right, with another recovering addict. Yeah. Like, listen, because in the beginning, I was like, listen, these niggas in Narcotics Anonymous, they just gonna leave me alone. I don't want, what would I look like being with somebody that's just like me? Cause listen, because at first, how can he help me? But it's awesome, I'm telling you, because he know me better than I know me. He can see me coming long before I can. He'd be like, baby, what's wrong? Nothing. Definitely. You know what I mean? Look. I love it. I love it. First of all, I need to share this. I never think nobody will want to marry me. I didn't think I was worthy enough to be nobody's wife. Listen, I come from a place where we prostitute. We stand on corners. We jump in strangers' cars. Look, when I got here, I said, listen, whatever I did in active addiction, because prior to smoking crack, I wasn't no hoe. I wasn't. I had a man, I might have had another one right after him, but it was just me and him. You know what I mean? For real. So, when I started using drugs, I started doing stuff that I normally don't do, and I remember the very first time I did it clearly and how it made me feel. I cried, because that's not who I was. But it got easier the more the disease progressed. So when I got here, I said, no. I was not going to be running around with the men in Narcotics Anonymous. I said that and I meant that. I've been here for 7 years and 3 months. I've been with one man. He's my husband. So women, we do recover.
Yes, yes.
You know, we do recover. Yes. We do not have to be who we was out there in the streets. You know, we talk about change around here. We talk about getting better. You know, I don't want to be who I was. I don't want to be her. I didn't like her. You know, but I'm loving who I'm becoming, because what I'm coming to find out is, like, the recovery process, God is restoring me back to who he intended me to be anyway. Oh, I love this. I'd be like, wow, me. Because I was the worst of the worst. But I look at my life today and I look at the people. Listen, I'm talking about, I got people who love me. They speak so highly of me, and some days I'll be sitting there talking about me. Because I never saw anything in me. You know, so now I got all these people, I got women that I got in this process who value me, who love me. You know, listen, me? Some days I'd be like, wow. Because if you could have saw me, you would have stayed away from me. No, I would have knocked on your door and you would have closed it, or you would have peeked out the door and said, don't let her ring. I was terrible. Listen, I caused a lot of people harm. But most of all, I harm me. Now here, I'm stuck with all this stuff. How do I get better? Yeah. This is the solution right here. You know, my answer is right here. You know, I begin by practicing spiritual principles. Look, the three indispensables, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. It said with these, we are well on our way. You know, so, like I said, I hope I helped somebody. You know, I don't know if I shared enough, or, you know, if I went over, I don't know. But this program is awesome. If you knew, like, look, this program will change your life. This is a life-changing process, and it will definitely change your life. And I'm telling you from my own experience, the person you see right now is not the person from 7 years ago, or from a few months ago, or maybe even a year ago. The person you see right now is, wow, I love me. And I can say that and mean it. I don't have to rely on how my husband treats me or what he do to make me feel good no more. Now I can tap into it myself. Yeah. And that's important. It's important. I remember one day he asked me, I was so miserable, and, you know, probably because I ain't had no money, because that's usually when I go through stuff. You know, but he asked me one day, he said, what can I do to make you happy? I had to pause for a minute and I said, there's nothing that you can do. It is. It's nothing that you can do. Like, I have to find it within. You know, you're supposed to enhance it as my husband, but to make me happy, that is not your job. I can only get that through a God of my understanding. You know? So, like I said, this is awesome. I'm going to be quiet. But if nobody told y'all today that they love y'all, you know, I'm going to ask that y'all please keep coming back, because this program truly do work. Thanks for letting me share.